Hi, welcome to The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm joined by Lori Lynn of the Charleston Daily Mail, Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee, and we have a special guest today. It's Roger May. He's a photographer, and he's the project director of lookingatappalachia.org, which is a wonderful website with lots of great photos on it. Roger, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We brought you on today to talk about images of Appalachia, which is something that we've talked about a lot here before. There was an article in Vice recently. Vice is, of course, the online news source, called 2 Days in Appalachia. It featured some photos from Bruce Gilden, who is a pretty well-known photographer. And the photos, I think it's fair to say, they made people kind of look like, how would you guys describe it here?
I wouldn't want to insult the subjects of the photographs, but I think he was looking for extremes and caricatures and
unflattering images.
Which I'm sure the people he photographed look very different typically than how they were portrayed in that one moment.
Yeah, I think he was searching out images that made people kind of look like circus freaks. And
well, we should describe a few of them, I mean, just because it's hard to kind of imagine. Yeah. This is radio. So which ones did you object to, Rick?
I remember one that struck me in mind was a photo of an elderly lady. I think it was taken in a church. That one really resonates in my mind. I mean, it's not like I'm personally offended by this. This thing's been going on for so many years. It's like, there they go again, more than, oh my God. So
what part of that image sticks in your mind?
I just imagine that person didn't look exactly that way all the time.
What I remember are some children that were photographed at a fair and photographed in such a way, it was a little bit blurry. The lighting was kind of funny. And I just got this whole sense that they were being photographed as sort of in a way that made them look freaky.
Yes.
Or freakish.
Yes. I think that photo was the childhood obesity photo. And part of it was, I think they were looking into the light. They were squinting, which made their faces look a little bit puffy. The one girl on the right had her face kind of distorted by being on the edge of the frame. And that one was the one, I agree, that really jumped out at me. That it didn't seem, you know, you could portray childhood obesity, which is a reality in Appalachia, but you could do it in a way that was more compassionate, that maybe put a little bit more distance between these children and the viewer.
Roger, you're the photographer. What's your impression of these photos?
They're signature Bruce Gilden photographs.
What do you mean by, for people who don't know who Bruce Gilden is, what do you mean by signature?
Sure. Well, he's just an incredibly aggressive photographer, and he and I approach the way that we make work in incredibly different ways. And that's not to say that there's not room in the world or room in Appalachia for us to make our respective forms of work. It's just when those go out into the world, we have to be ready to stand by why we made what we made. And I just find it incredibly difficult to photograph people in such a way that is sort of has very much of a prop feel to it. Like these, you know, he said in a recent interview that he seeks out people that sort of remind him of himself. So in some ways, these are extensions of himself, and these are sort of self-portraits. He's also said that he always liked the darker side of life. And so if you know, the darker side of Appalachia is what he's representing in his photographs, you know, I take issue with that. I take issue with people being used as props, and one could argue that photography in and of itself is a tool to use however a particular photographer may want to. It's just the work that I identify with, and the work that I try to put into the world is much more engaging, and it's much more long form. It's not just 2 days in Appalachia.
Roger's work has been featured, by the way, in the New York Times, by National Geographic. And how would you describe the difference between what you do when you do a portrait of somebody in Appalachia versus what you saw Mr. Gilden doing?
Well, there's usually quite a bit of conversation going on beforehand. I've said this numerous times, but it never gets old. I'm 40 years old, and I can remember the day that my grandfather told me that I have 2 ears and 1 mouth. And that means that I should listen twice as much as I speak. And so through that act of listening and engaging with people, there's some sort of a bond, a relationship being established, even if it's only fleeting. And people want to be heard, right? And I want to hear what people have to say. And I can do that with my ears. I can do that with my cameras. the photograph is really in some ways just a part of the conversation that I'm having. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's not sort of the finished product where, you know, the way that I've seen Gildan work on the streets of New York, it must have been exactly how he worked in Appalachia or anywhere else he works, because that's his style. And again, I don't want to say that there's not room in the world for that style of photography. I just don't think that it's, when you consider the history of photographic work in Appalachia, that is not a good fit for the region, in my opinion.
So, Roger, I'm not familiar with Gildan's work. Is his style mainly portraits of people kind of facing the camera head on? Because that's what these all seem to be.
Yeah, it is, which, again, it sort of oddly comforted me to know that this is not a clear departure from the type of work that he makes. And this is very textbook Bruce Gildan. I mean, it's very close in proximity to the sitter's face. There's very harsh off-camera flash. And the manner that he usually shoots on the streets of New York and other places is he just walks down the street, and if he sees something he wants to photograph, I mean, he literally, like, bolts to the person and gets right up in their face. And it's almost like, you know, like some sort of a freak show response or this very surprised reaction, which, you know, we all probably would have if some stranger just came out of nowhere and made that kind of picture of us. And that just sort of, for me, embodies the difference between taking a picture and making a picture. And these images seem very much like taking that has been done in Appalachia for decades.
I would agree with that, and I think there are many examples of people who have taken pictures of poor people, of struggling people, and done it in such a way that really captures their dignity. I'm thinking about Walker Evans, who collaborated with James Agee on Let Us Now Praise Famous Men, and it's a, you know, the pictures are beautiful, and it really portrays their dignity just the same way the narrative that comes with it. Several years ago, I worked on a project interviewing people on public assistance, and there was a photographer from WVU, Neil Newfield, who took pictures of the people, and it really photograph them with grace and dignity, and I think it can be done. I mean, that was not the road taken this time around.
Well, you know, I also looked up Bruce Gildan after this, and there were photos from Des Moines, Columbus, Los Angeles that looked much like the photos from Appalachia. And like you, Roger, I felt a little bit comforted by that in one way. But in another way, those photos were not presented as 2 days in Des Moines or 2 days in Las Vegas. They were just presented as, hey, look at this person. Whereas Vice chose to say, these photos are representative of 2 days in Appalachia. I mean, is there something about the presentation of these on Vice, too? It's not just the photographer. It's also how the online news service decided to put it out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, Vice is just Vice. I mean, it's what they are, and it's what they do. It's what they're known for. And so the upside for me in this is that, you know, we can look at this work and we can just take it for what it is. And for me, it doesn't add a lot to the conversation of how we can look at Appalachia differently than the way that it's always been presented to us. So with that, it means that, like most other things on Vice, it's just clickbait. And a publication like Vice has an assignment editor who makes the kind of work of 30 days of things that he peed on, it's no surprise to me that 2 days in Appalachia, you know, got less time than him peeing on things.
I'd like to do that with my Great Pyrenees. I think that would make it an outstanding exhibit, you know, because he's got the reach, too. I mean, let's just face it. But one point
go.
I'd like to make is
I would hope that these photos – you said these are things he'd peed on, not things that he was peeing on, right?
Past
Correct.
Tense.
These, past tense. These, oh. these are sort of like...
Remind me not to follow you on Instagram.
Yeah. Luckily, I haven't figured that out yet.
So. You're listening to Roger May, photographer behind lookingatappalachia.org, and we're talking about a new story on Vice called 2 Days in Appalachia. Is it documentary photography or is it poverty porn?
The other thing I want to, you know, that occurred to me looking at this, I mean, again, I think the point is not that the people in the photographs look badly. Let's all think about our driver's licenses. You know, we can all look pretty horrendous and can be made to look pretty horrendous, and a photograph is not the same as a person. You know, and one other point that I'd like to think of, you mentioned the way Appalachia has always been presented. I think it's interesting to look when Appalachia started to be presented that way. And it happened during the late 1800s, early 1900s, about the same time that Appalachia was being colonized by outside economic interests. And again, if you're going to treat a group of people badly, it's good to come up with reasons why do you do that. And so these, you know, stereotypes and images with this reinforce is just...
You know what's fascinating about that time frame, Rick, is that that is the same time frame that the rise of popular photography. Mm-hmm. You know, if photography in the late 1800s, early 1900s went from being this thing that was extremely difficult to do and rare to something that, you know, newspapers were regularly featuring photos. And that's the same time the Hatfield and McCoys came out.
Exactly.
And any time that things like that happen, I mean, you can see throughout our cultural history that it was a concerted effort to save us, to colonize us, to make us be more proper and that sort of thing. And then after a while, you sort of get to take your hands off the wheel, and folks start to believe that about themselves, and they start to see themselves as such after a while. And then it becomes ingrained in culture. So what we're talking about here is not anything that is not completely untrue about people, but it's just not the only thing. For so long, in my opinion, Appalachia has been portrayed in this very narrow view of, you know, poverty. And, I mean, just Google, you know, Appalachian photography, and you'll quickly run into some problematic images. But you know, now with so many tools at our disposal and with the ability to just sort of reach out and have these kinds of conversations, we can really start to open a dialogue about representation and about identity and about pride and ownership of what we look like and how we look and how we're presented and those sorts of things.
Roger, one of the things that struck me in paging through your website and all the different photos, which I realize many of them are not yours, they're other people's, but so many of the photo sets did such a good job of showing people in the context of community. And you know, again, this may just be, I don't want to criticize Gildon because this is just his style to feature, you know, individuals, but that was completely lacking from his set of photos. There was no sense of the people interacting with each other, which surely is a huge part of life in, you know, Harlan County, Kentucky, where he was.
Well, I'll criticize Gildon for that. I don't think people should be taken completely out of context as just like an image. I think that one of the most instructive thing about Roger's photographs is that he explains where and how and why. If photography is journalism as well as art, and I think it is, it's kind of a combination of both, I think there's some obligation to put things in context.
Yeah, unless your project is to just isolate people as individuals and, you know, look at them as a soul. And I mean, I think that can be a legitimate, you know, way of doing art as well, which maybe is not, it's more art and not, and less journalism.
And I think the vice photos, I mean, the photographer has his own style and he does it everywhere. So to that extent, he's equal opportunity. But he contributed, knowingly or not, to a long existing genre. I've heard someone call Appalachian minstrelsy.
Okay, so say you're doing, you know, 2 days in inner city St. Louis, and you show a picture of an African-American kid playing basketball. How is that similar or different to that? I mean, it's kind of trading on a stereotype that's also maybe a reality. I mean, you know, you go to Maine and you see lobsters and lighthouses, and Maine is a lot more than that. But if you're going to do a photo series on Maine, you're probably going to have a picture of a lighthouse. So,
Roger, what do you think?
Sure. And I think the key there is a photo series. You know, it's hard to do anything in 2 days' time. And one of the things that frustrated me most about Gildon's assignment particularly was, I'll guarantee you that between the idea being conceived at Vice and then approaching Magnum and then having a meeting with Magnum and then trying to find the photographer that was the right fit and then pre-production and the assignment and then actually getting there and then all of the post-production and the layout and the design and all that kind of stuff, I'll guarantee you more than 2 days were spent on all of that stuff collectively.
this wasn't an accident. This was not, he stumbled into Appalachia and took some photos, and that's just what they
that's
are.
Correct.
They went looking for this. It kind of reminds me of Jesse and Marisha Camp. I mean, you remember that story of the photographer Marisha and her brother Jesse, the former MTV DJ, who came to McDowell County, supposedly just on vacation, just driving around, and got cornered by some of the locals. They had a very disturbing incident where for a while they were kept from leaving. What are the similarities and differences between what Bruce Gilden did in his 2 days in Appalachia and what Marisha Camp was doing in driving across McDowell County?
Well, I think the Camps, they were intentional in making work, you know, because West Virginia wasn't the only place that they went to. You know, to be clear, they had been all over the country in a lot of different towns and a lot of different places. It just so happened that this confrontation transpired in McDowell County. So the way that they went about it, I don't think that they were intentionally, they didn't have a specific look, although, you know, Jesse Camp did say they noticed these two obese kids standing in a driveway. They didn't set out to look for, you know, obese kids. I think they were seriously just out rolling around trying to see who they could talk to and that sort of thing. And unfortunately, you know, through this perfect storm of situations, they found themselves in this really, really hostile environment. And with Gilden, though, I see him as being much more deliberate, you know, much more knowing what he was looking for. It was told to me that in one place he said that the people didn't look interesting enough. You know, he wanted to move on to another place. So he knew exactly what he was looking for, and he deliberately sought out those people that would support his style of work and that would fit in with this face or faces project that he's been doing sort of all over the place.
So I'd just like to circle back to the St. Louis example. You know, one, it would be like, I think, in a way, is to go in, say, East St. Louis and take pictures of young, dangerous-looking African-American men that reinforce stereotypes. That's kind of what it would be like. And, of course, the photographer has the right to do what he wants, and we have the right to react to it. And I'm not mad. This has happened dozens of times. But that would be how I think the St. Louis scenario would play out, to use that example.
But you could imagine that happening, right?
Yeah, well, you can imagine. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Does happen.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it does happen. It continues to happen. It has happened. And so in some way, you know, I'm not the least bit surprised that Appalachia is someplace that yet another news agency would drop into and sort of make these very, you know, I mean, they're images that have a lot of shock value to them. And again, what does it say about the photographer? What does it say about our response and that sort of thing? But, you know, this wasn't the first time, and unfortunately it certainly won't be the last. But, you know, what we can do is continue to have positive dialogue around this so that we can move in a direction collectively that, we can identify those things. So when people come to us and say, hey, I want to go to Appalachia and make some photos, what do you recommend? And, you know, my first thing is always, well, how about you just go there and listen for a while? You know, how about you just go and hang out in the barbershop or go get a sandwich somewhere, or, you know, when you're getting gas, talk to the clerk and just listen for a while, you know, and be honest about your intent. If you're there to make photographs, just say that. I don't know what I'm making photographs of. I'm just, you know, this looks interesting to me or whatever, but spend more time listening than you do talking or coming into a space thinking that you already know what you want to get. Because you'll be pleasantly surprised and come away with a much greater experience.
Roger Mays is a photographer from West Virginia and the force behind the Looking at Appalachia project. Check it out online at lookingatappalachia.org. Roger, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And that's the Front Porch for this week. I've been joined by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee and Lori Lynn with the Charleston Daily Mail.
Thank you.
Thank you.